Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh, I don't care.
Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal, wa na'udhu billahi min hali ahli an-nar. اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله وبحمده عدد خلقه ورضا نفسه وزنة عرشه ومداد كلماته اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عدد ما في علم الله صلاة دائمة بدوام ملك الله اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما اللهم أغننا بالعلم وزيننا بالحلم وأكرمنا بالتقوى وجملنا بالعافية اللهم آتي أنفسنا تقواها وزكيها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها ربنا زدنا علما اللهم اجعلنا دعاة إليك وإلى رسولك أما بعد The need for a sheikh and the reality of his prayer, of his dua and his attention. Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi said, the dua, the prayer and the blessings of a sheikh have a great, great say in the reformation and the islah of the murid and the disciple. It has a great say in that. But it is only an aid, not sufficient by itself. It is like aniseed water in a laxative. For without the laxative, it is not helpful. If a patient does not take medicine, then a physician's sympathy is of no use. If a teacher turns to a student, he will not memorize his lesson unless he learns them himself. So the real task of the sheikh is to guide to the path and to cover the distance is the work of the seeker, the talim. Like the blind is guided but not carried. The blind is guided but not carried in the arms. For he will have to walk by himself. He will have to walk by himself. And Fase Isa. A misunderstanding. Some people are under the misconception that if they swear allegiance at the hands of a sheikh, they have done their duty and no more is required of them. They will automatically reform, get near to Allah and enter Jannah. Sheikh's prayer, dua. There is no doubt that a sheikh's attention, his tawajjuh and dua for a disciple are very, very important for him. No doubt in that. We must not consider them useless and we must not disregard them. To get them is a great blessing. To get the dua of your sheikh, to get his tawajjuh and attention is a very great blessing. However, this is only a helping tool and not sufficient by itself. The murid, the disciple, will have to do his own task. The sheikh's support is merely an encouragement. Doctor's sympathy is not enough. If a patient goes to a physician, then the latter's sympathy will not help in the former's recovery unless he follows the physician's advice. If the patient were to return home and wait for the doctor's sympathy to work on him, then he would never recover. He will recover only when he uses the sympathetic physician's prescription. He will have to buy the medicine, or a physician might perhaps donate, but the medicine will have to be taken. We'll have to walk on the path. The Sheikh is a spiritual doctor. He cures the illnesses of the soul. He diagnoses the inner illnesses and prescribes their cure. Again, howsoever kind and sympathetic he may be, the murid, the disciple, will have to walk his way by himself. The reward and punishment in the akhirah too depends upon man's own deeds. The Sheikh only shows the path and the cure. The Sheikh only shows the path and the cure. Path and the cure. And his attention and dua are not without help. Of course they are helpful. The disciple must also not imagine that only he is responsible for his deeds, but he must also think, it's important also, the disciple must also not imagine that only he is responsible for his deeds. The Sheikh has no part in it. For the Sheikh's prayer and dua is answered by Allah, who gives courage to the seeker and the talib to do good deeds. Good deeds result from the Sheikh's attentive eye. Allah has placed the Sheikh in between to protect the seeker, the talib, from the deception of his soul. When he does something, he might boast about it, being prompted by the shaitan, and becomes arrogant. Allah causes him to avoid that through the instrumentality of the Sheikh. And he credits his deeds to the encouragement and du'as of the Sheikh. As a result, the deception of the soul is eliminated. Credit to Haji Imdadullah, Rahmatullah Alayh. Dr. Abdul Hay, Rahmatullah Alayh, said about Maulana Tanwi, Rahmatullah Alayh, that whenever Maulana Tanwi spoke to his audience or address special gatherings, he was careful to say that he had the du'as and the blessings of Haji Imdadullah in his favor. He said that because of them he was unable to speak as he did. He repeated the credit often so that he may not get a lofty thought of self-praise and be saved from the deception of the soul. Hence, we too must credit our good deeds to the Sheikh's du'a and tawajjuh upon us. Perform the deed, but credit the Sheikh. The Honorable Doctor said, Dr. Abdul Hay, alayhi rahma, he said, once Maulana Tanwi, Rahmatullah alayhi, was overtaken by ecstasy during a sermon and repeated often, this is the blessing of the Haji. This is the blessing of the Haji. The blessing of the Haji. He repeated it often. So we must realize that neither must we belittle the instrumentality of a Sheikh. We must not belittle that, nor imagine that it is only the Sheikh who does everything and we have to do nothing. Both the extremes are wrong, while the fact, the haqq, lies between them. Between them. Perform deeds. Use your ability and choice. Bring out your courage and regard the Sheikh's du'as and blessings as helpful tools. Correct way to imagine. One of his disciples visited Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Alayhi once and related his good situation and experiences. He said, this is your blessing. This is your blessing. Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Alayhi said, you should think in this way. You should think in this way. But let me disclose the facts to you. The fact is that you possessed all those good things, but they came to light through my guidance. As for you, you are right in believing that this is my blessing. an account. Haji Imda Abdullah then related to him this story. A woman asked her neighbor for burning wood. She asked her neighbor for burning wood. In those days, stoves were heated with charcoal or firewood, and it took time to heat up. So women normally took from each other a piece of live coal, burning coal or wood, if their stoves were already lighted, so that their own may heat up quickly. So women normally took from each other a piece of burning coal or wood, if their stoves were already lighted, so that their own may heat up quickly. So when this woman made the request, the neighbor said that her stove was cold. The first woman asked if she may search in the stove for a firebrand. She consented, and indeed the first woman managed to find in the fuel a burning piece of coal. She took it with her. Haji Ibn Abdullah Rahmatullah Alayhi said, the burning coal was there in her stove. The burning coal was there in her stove. If it had not been there, the woman might have tried 1,000 times, but she would not have found it. The burning coal was there in her stove. If it had not been there, the woman might have tried 1,000 times, but she would not have found it. So the spark was there. The spark was there. But the effort was the woman's. She found it. She found it. The spark was there. But the effort was the woman's. If she had not tried, the coal or the wood would have extinguished. But she found it there. The sheikh looks for it. The sheikh is exactly like this. He searches for the spark in his disciple. If he did not look for it, then the spark would have cooled down. The spark would have cooled down. The sheikh's efforts brought it out. And the disciple used it to benefit. The sheikh's efforts brought it out. And the disciple now used it to benefit. So the sheikh is not unnecessary. And also, he is not the doer. The spark was traced out by him. But it was already there. It was already there. This was an excellent example. Regard the sheikh as a great blessing. My respected father, Rahmatullah Alayhi, often related that Mufti Muhammad Hassan, Rahmatullah Alayhi Amritsari, the Khalifa of Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi, once said to the Maulana that if he spent the rest of his life in sijda, in gratitude for being associated with the Maulana's khanqa, his recluse, he would not be able to do justice to that. Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi did deny that. He did deny that, but said, yes, yes, you must believe in that manner. For a seeker's gain lies in following his sheikh and regarding him his benefactor. That is for his gain. In short, one must have a correct mixture of these things and stay within limits. That is success. Sharia, Sunnah, and Tariqa. Dr. Abdul Hai Rahmatullah Alayhi had a very nice thing to say. Sharia is the name of rights. It is the name of rights. Whose rights? Al-Hukuk. Ismul Hukuk. Whose rights? The rights of Allah. Hukukullah. And the rights of his slaves. Hukukul Ibad. Sharia is the name of rights. Ismul Hukuk. Whose rights? The rights of Allah and the rights of his slaves. And the Sharia, surrounded within these two. And the Sharia surrounded within these two. In other words, the Sharia is surrounded by these two things, Hukukullah and Hukukul Ibad. Sunnah is the name of the limits. Sunnah is the name of the limits. And how to give these rights. So Sunnah is the name of the hudud and the limits. That means, in other words, on how and on whom to give these rights and how. Tariqa is the name of protection of those rights and limits, so that one may neither trespass nor stay behind. Tariqa is the name of protection of those rights, so that one may neither trespass nor stay behind. So once more, Sharia is the name of rights, said Dr. Abdul Hay. The rights of Allah and the rights of his slaves. And the Sharia is surrounded by these two. Oh, the Sharia is surrounded within these two. Sunnah is the name of the limits, the hudud and the rights. It is on how and to whom to give these rights. And tariqa is the name of the protection, the hifazat, of those limits of rights, so that one may neither trespass nor stay behind. When one goes to the one's sheikhs, he learns to protect these limits. He used to repeat the three sentences. Dr. Abdul Hay used to repeat the three sentences. One, Sharia is the name of rights, ismul hukuk. Sunnah is the name of limits, ismul hudud. And tariqa is hifazat, ismu hifazatil hudud, the name of the protection of those limits. Sharia is the name of the rights, ismul hukuk. Sunnah is the name of what? The name of the limits, ismul hudud. And tariqa is the name of the protection of those limits. Hence, the aim of the relationship between a mentor and his disciple is to protect the limits, which is tariqa, the name of the protection and hifazat of those limits, that a person doesn't transgress nor stay behind. So that's the aim of the relationship between a mentor and disciple, to protect the limits. How much should he do? Where should he stop? And how far should he go? This cannot be taught, but can be learnt by experience alone. One must be accustomed to it. Let the sheikh be there. That is the station of a sheikh. If he is underestimated, then that will attract punishment. If he is overestimated and is treated as divine, then that is shirk and polytheism. Only he will teach how the disciple must strike a balance between the two extremes. May Allah cause us to understand this. Ameen. Courage and sincerity. Preparedness to courage. Excellent for Islam reforming. Maulana Tanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi said, sincerity and courage are the essence of tasawwuf. Sincerity and courage are the essence of tasawwuf. Of the two, courage is important because it is necessary even to create sincerity. The aid to courage is preparedness, which has different forms. Act on what the Sheikh suggests. For example, offer 10 rakats at every shortcoming as a penalty, so that at the second mistake, the fear of penalty may cause in you a preparedness, and you may use courage and suppress demands of your soul. If you will use your preparedness and courage, then inshallah you will be safe from shortcomings and will reform gradually. A daily study of Nuzhatul Bustan will also create in you a sense of preparedness and courage. And Fasi Isa, commentary. Sincerity, the Maulana has named two things as the essence of tasawwuf and tariqa, which are actually the path to deen. This path cannot be covered without these two things. And one of them is ikhlas, sincerity. Every deed must be for Allah alone and for His pleasure. There should be no ostentation or desire for fame. Sincerity is the spirit, the ruh of all deeds. Without sincerity, all deeds are useless. One may offer salat or keep a fast, but look forward to gain people's praise. Such deeds are of no use and have no weight or value. Without sincerity, a class, no deed is accepted. It is useless. Courage. The second thing is courage. Courage to do the deeds with sincerity. Courage to do the deeds with sincerity, to obey Allah and to keep away from sin. If these two things are grown, then the goal is achieved. This is what Maulana Tanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi said. Maulana Tanvi, who had devoted his life to tasawwuf, this is the gist of his experience. Truth and sincerity. We can also say the same thing in other words, that two things are sought, truth and sincerity. Sincerity is a pure intention for Allah alone, while truth is that the deed should be correct, straight, and according to the dictates of Sharia, that is according to Sunnah. Thus, when one gets up for Salah, he should observe the whole of it from the first takbir to the end of the Salah in accordance with Sunnah. This is Sidq, this is truth. Further, the aim of offering the Salat should be to gain Allah's pleasure and to worship Him, but not to make a display of it. There should be no ostentation, no riyah, no show. This is ikhlas, sincerity. These two things create life in the deed when there is truth done according to the dictates of the Sharia, correct and straight. And ikhlas and sincerity, these two things create life, jaan in the deed. If it lacks sincerity but has only truth, then it is still in vain. It may be offered with humility and according to Sunnah. It has truth in it, which signify truth, but the heart is not sincere. Bekar, useless. So sincerity is essential, as well as on the other side, truth too is also essential. If there is sincerity and nothing but Allah's pleasure and pleasure is in mind, but the method is incorrect, not according to Sunnah, then the Salat is not approved. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said about such Salat, Kum fasalli fa innaka lam tusalli. Kum fasalli fa innaka lam tusalli. Stand up, get up and repeat salat because you have not offered salat. It's not correct. Hence, neither is the intention nor the deed itself enough. But both the things are essential. Only then will that deed have weight and gain acceptance. Dr. Abdul Hayy Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say that all bid'ah have sincerity in them. Because generally people do them as pious deeds and to gain Allah's pleasure. But the method is wrong and they lack truth. Therefore the deeds are in vain. The Quran says, Hal nunabbi'ukum bil aksarina a'mala alladhina dhalla sa'yuhum fil hayati dunya wa hum yahsabuna annahum yuhsinuna sun'a. Shall we inform you who will be the greatest losers? Al-aksarina amala. Shall we inform you who will be the greatest losers in respect of their deeds? Hal nunabbi'ukum bil-aksarina amala. Alladhina dhalla sa'yuhum fil hayati dunya. Those whose endeavor and effort is wasted in the life of the world. وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا. While they think they are doing well regarding their performance. Their intention is correct, but the method is not correct. Both things are necessary. How to have truth and sincerity? To have both these things, it is necessary to have courage. That's why courage is so important. It is to prevent the soul from misguiding you and to resist its demand, and you should keep yourself on the straight path and choose the straight deed. This is courage. For example, to resist the inclination to misuse the eye is offered only through courage. All deeds require courage, whether they are commands like do's or prohibition like don'ts. It is necessary to wake up in the night, to have the pre-dawn meal, the sahar, sahri, to keep fast. Only courage against sleep, cold, and laziness can wake one up. Courage is to wake up in the face of these obstacles and resist the demands of the nafs. Similarly, courage is required to practice the deen in its entirety. Courage, therefore, is the real thing. Thus, sincerity and courage, both sincerity and courage, are the essence of all deeds. But of the two, courage is the real thing, because it is again required to create sincerity. Courage is even needed to create sincerity. For the devil, the shaitan prompts him when he stands up for salat, that people will praise him and think highly of him. So he too tries to make his salat presentable to the people. To get rid of this thought of showing off, he needs courage. He should tell himself that why should he seek the praise of the creatures and submit to the demands of his soul and nafs? Praise grows arrogance. When people praise a person for whatever good is in him, he feels very proud about it. He soon tells himself that they do not do that without reason, and he surely possesses good qualities. Praise is a very bad thing, and if not stopped, it spoils man. It spoils man. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Uhsu fi wujuhil maddahin at-turab." Uhsu fi wujuhil maddahin at-turab. Put dust into the mouth of one who praises you, into the faces of those who praise you, into the mouth and faces of those who praise you. Uhsu fi wujuhil maddahin at-turab ay fi afwahihim. Cure for arrogance in the heart. If anyone praises you and you feel elated, then cure yourself of that by telling yourself immediately that Allah has disclosed to the other person your good qualities. If your defects were disclosed to him, then he would detest you. Also tell yourself, what do I gain by his praise? I get some fun. Eh? The fun has gone away. And if I tell him to praise me again, can I tell him that? Would the fun come back? No. So I should think of that again and again. What a good thing he had said. But what will I gain in this world or the next by that thought? Dr. Abdul Hayy Rahmatullah Alayhi used to recite a beautiful verse on praise. If we bear it in mind, then we will receive perpetual deliverance from the mischief of praise. This is the verse. If anyone lauds you, praises you, then think, what is next? What is next? There is nothing after that. The praise has vanished into thin air. Aur kuch nahi. If anyone lauds you, praises you, then think, uske baad kya hai? What is next? What is next? There is nothing after that. The praise has vanished into thin air. The real fun, Allahu Akbar, the real fun is when we will get the real fun. When Allah says, Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutmainna, irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan marudiyya, fadkhuli fi ibadi wadkhuli jannati. O you soul at peace, O tranquil, peaceful nafs and soul, and nafsul mutmainna, after hard work, trying to curb your desires, and now your nafs has become mutmainna. O you nafse mutmainna, peaceful nafs, return unto your Rabb, well pleased, well-pleasing. Enter you among my servants, and enter you my Jannah and my garden. That would be real fun. That would be real fun. How can people's praise please us? Because man's soul is hasty. He snatches the readily available praise. Man's soul, man's nafs, is very hasty. He snatches the readily available praise. He then does more good work to earn more praise. More good work to earn more praise. He snatches the readily available praise because he is hasty. His nafs incite him to hear and to hear more praise. To remove that thought from the nafs and to get it to the straight path, courage is required. Courage is required. Thus the Maulana said that courage is the real thing. It is what helps gain sincerity that cannot be had. Therefore, we must try to develop courage and grow it into ourselves. There is great strength in courage. Allah has placed great strength in courage. It is courage that took man to the moon. No one could have thought of going there 100 years ago. Flying in the air, Ismail ibn Hammad Jauhari. Ismail ibn Hammad Jauhari was the author of the famous Arabic dictionary, Sahha. He was counted among the Uqala'ul Majaneen. Though very intelligent, he committed a great foolish act. He had a foolish thought of flying in the air. So he practiced it for some days and days before making an announcement one day that he would fly from the minaret of the central mosque. Thousands of people gathered there to see him. He climbed up the minaret and flapped his hands, only to fall down and die. That courage grew stronger till man really began to fly. He died, but man really began to fly. The first man to fly was a Muslim. The first man to fly in the air was a Turkish Muslim. It is wrong to say that the Wright brothers were the ones to invent the aeroplane. The fact is that the first demonstration of flying was made by a Turkish Muslim in the Khilafat-e Uthmaniyya. Even today, his wings are displayed at Burj-e Galafa in Istanbul. His wings are still displayed at Burj-e Galafa in Istanbul. I hope I pronounced it properly. He flew with these wings a distance of 8 miles from Burj-e Galafa to pass the Bosphorus Sea. 8 miles he flew for with these wings. Heights of courage. It was courage that helped him fly. Courage again helped man invent the aeroplane, which has developed with the passage of time. And courage has enabled man to go into space. It is up to man to use his courage for good or for bad. Wonders of courage. Put your courage to good work and shatter your nafs and your passions with it. Eliminate unlawful desires with your courage. Then see the wonders of courage. See the wonders of courage. How to grow courage. There are different ways to grow courage. One of them is to join the company of the courageous people. Read the stories of these people. Prepare yourself for courage. For example, impose a penalty on yourself if you are slack in some form of ibadah or if you commit a sin. The penalty should be offering charity or some rakat of salat. However, determine a moderate punishment, not very heavy and not very little, say 4 or 6 rakat of salat. This should serve as a deterrent to sin. Need for a sheikh. However, not the same method will grow courage in different men and cause them to use it advantageously. Hence, a sheikh must decide such questions. If you use your opinion, then you might stumble. A sheikh, on the other hand, determines the best method for each of his disciples according to their ability. Summary: the basic thing to act on the whole of deen is courage. It is strengthened by joining the company of the courageous and reading their stories. Kunuma sadiqeen al-awliya al-muttaqeen. This should be done in the supervision of a sheikh. Otherwise, one might suffer. May Allah grant courage to all of us. Ameen. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. نشهد ولا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.
Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh, I don't care. This is who I am, this is me. Nothing, everything, can't you see?